Yeah, when Tim told me what was going on and asked if I was available for this Sunday, I jumped at it because I do love coming here. It's not every other week, but it's pretty regular, so that's a good thing. And I tell you this every time, that I have to think, okay, I've agreed to come, now what am I going to say? You know, Lord, what do you have? And there was something that's happened just recently that really, really shook me. It really got me thinking about something. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Peter, the third chapter. It was something that was going on in my life and my family's life, and it was getting pretty serious, and I'll tell you about it here in just a minute. But it really got me thinking about something. In 2 Peter, the third chapter, I'm just going to read a couple verses, probably three verses, starting at verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth and also all the works that are in it shall be burned up. Father, we ask you to add blessing to the reading of your word. And now, Lord, again, as we gather here to hear from you, we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the words of this message. Father, that they become your words. Father, we pray that they would be words of encouragement, words of authority, that they would be words of instruction or reproof. Father, whatever it is we need today, I pray that this word would become that. Open our hearts to receive it, Lord. And not just to hear the word, but be challenged by it. And Lord, to act upon it. And Lord, as always, I pray, don't let me get in the way. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to let you know right off, patience is not my go-to thing. I struggle with patience. Just recently, most of you know my son Jacob. He's in the Army. He's in South Carolina, getting ready to move his family from Seattle to South Carolina in the next couple of weeks. And up until a few days ago, Friday last week, he didn't have a house to move him to. And I'd been praying about it. And I've had churches praying about it. I've had pastors praying about it. I've had everyone praying about it. And I was really getting impatient. I know he was freaking out. But I got to thinking, and last week, or the week that he found out about the house, on Monday, I said, all right, Lord, it's down to the last week. He has to have a house this week. Like I'm telling God what to do. Well, Monday rolls around, no house. The next day I pray, Lord, he needs a house this week. I'm really starting to get impatient on this. Tuesday, nothing. Wednesday, nothing. Thursday, I pray, and then I look at Kelly and I said, I don't think God hears me. I don't understand what's going on. He's not hearing my prayers. What is happening here? Why hasn't he moved? Why hasn't he done what I asked? And Kelly, being the wise woman that she is, she says, he's here. It's his timing, though. It's not what you want. It's his timing. Well, Friday rolls around, and Jacob gets the call. They got the house on base there. Nice house. A recent build. I mean, it's like built in 2012. So really nice place that they're moving into. And he calls me and he says, "Mom said you didn't think God was listening." I hate it when my wife tells on me. And he said, "I'm just going to let you know, he heard your prayers and I got the house today." So I got to thinking about things. That I was trying to rush God. He had something planned, but I was trying to rush him. I mean, when I'm looking for something to happen, I want it right now. And I blame that, and I know I've probably shared this before, but I blame that lack of patience on two things that have happened in my lifetime. One is the invention of the microwave oven. How many of you have ever pushed the button to stop it with 1 second left? I do it all the time. I can't wait that one more second for my burrito to come out. I'm ready for that burrito and I want it now. And I can't wait one more second. The other one is drive-up windows, where I can pull up and get a hamburger within 2, 3, maybe 5 minutes, depending on how long the line is. And I get impatient when it takes more than that. And I'm thinking, what's going on? Did you order the whole menu? I'm hollering at the people ahead of me. They can't hear me because I'm in the car and they probably got their radios on anyway. But I'm getting upset because it's taken more than 5 minutes for me to get a cheeseburger. Then I always think, how long would it have took me to cook one at home? And not only cook it, but then have to clean up the mess after. Patience is not my go-to thing. I don't want to have to wait. And there's been a lot of times that being impatient has got me in trouble. I want to go in, I want to do something, I want to do it now, I want to get it done, and God's always saying, you got to wait. You got to wait. He lets me know that rushing is not the best thing to do. But I'm guilty of doing it all the time. Today we're going to take a look at God's Word. And prayerfully we're going to see that patience truly is a virtue. We're going to see what happens when we try to rush God, that it will discover it's not the thing to do. We're also going to see that God has a plan. And prayerfully, when we get to the end, we're going to see that in His timing, when it is His time, nothing is going to stop it from happening. I know I started out in 2 Peter, but we're going to go to Genesis, the 12th chapter, and we're going to visit an account of Scripture that I know that is familiar to some, and maybe some have never read it before, but it's the story of Abram and Sarai. In the 12th chapter, it says this, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing.'" I'm going to make you a great nation is the promise that God is giving to this man. He said, "I want you to pack up. I want you to go. I want you to do what I want you to do. I want you to go this place." He didn't say, "I'm going to give you this land." He said, "I'm going to show you this land. But come with me. And let's take this journey. Let's see what happens." And he said, "I'm going to make you a great nation." Okay, Abram at this time was 75 years old without any kids. And he's being told now, "You're going to have a great nation come out of you." I mean, how exciting is that? I mean, for me, if God told me that we were going to have a baby, that would freak me out. I know why young people have babies, because old people can't keep up with them. But Abram was excited, and he packed up and he left, and he did what God wanted him to do. I mean, for him, it was an awesome promise. "Hey, I don't have any kids yet. I'm 75 years old, but God has told me that I am going to be a great nation. A great nation is going to come out of me. How awesome is that? The promise again is made in Genesis chapter 15, where Abram is starting to complain now to God. He's getting impatient. He says, I don't have any children. And my servant Eliezer is going to be the heir. He's going to get everything that I have. And he's complaining to God. Hey, God, don't you remember back 10 years ago you said a great nation's going to come out of me. Everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be great. I mean, it's 10 years now and I still don't have any kids. In the 16th chapter, it talks about Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne no children. And she was starting to get impatient because she knew the promise that was there and didn't understand exactly what was going to happen and couldn't figure this out herself. She was 10 years younger, but still, you know, she's thinking, this is going to have to happen soon. So she says to Abram, I've got this handmaid named Hagar, and I want you to go in with her and have children so that I can say I have an heir. So that I can say, I've borne you children. So please go into my maid, and perhaps I'll obtain children by her. And Abram listened to his wife. I guess it's always good to listen to your wife, but not in this case. What she is saying is, it hasn't happened yet, so let's help God out. Let's see what we can do to help God out, because obviously He can't get this accomplished in the time that I'm ready for it to happen. So I'm going to help Him out. Kind of like my prayer for the house. Kind of like other things that I've done. I'm going to help God out. He's taking way too long on this. You ever been there? Where God's taking way too long? He's taking, in our standards, by our timing. Lord, I'm waiting for this. Come on, man. What's going on? And then she's saying, I know better than God. Because God hasn't done this, I know how to fix it. See, that's my problem. When things don't go as quick as I want them to, I like to fix it. I like to be the one that makes all the decisions and makes this happen when God's just telling me, you need to wait. It's not time yet. So Abram, being the obedient husband that he is, he goes to the with Hagar, and they have a son named Ishmael. Ishmael's born, and because of this, there's been trouble in that region forever. From that moment, from the time Ishmael was blessed by God, saying, this is what's going to happen. There are going to be people that are going to come against you, and you're going to be against people. That's been fulfilled. Trouble in the Middle East has raged ever since. And I want to tell you, we get into the same trouble spiritually when we try to rush God. When we try to do things, there's a warfare that goes on. There's things that happen that we just can't understand. Why these things are happening? Why is everything so bad right now? And we question God. And we try to fix it. They tried to rush Him. They tried to hurry God. And what they're finding out is, you can't hurry my God. He's got a plan. So we go on a little bit. Sarai's barrenness lasts another 13 years. In Genesis, the 17th chapter, we read where it says Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. 13 years. Now, had God spoken to him in that 13 years? I don't know. It's not recorded. But could you imagine not hearing from God for 13 years? Could you imagine the promise that was there? I tried to fix it. I did my best. And and I've messed everything up now because Sarah and Hagar were at odds with each other. They were both at odds with Abram, and I mean, everything was just bad. And now he's 99 years old, and the promised son has not been born yet. 13 years, but remember, the opening text, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years to God. God's not hampered by time. That's something we invented. That's something that we've come up with. We run our lives by these things. When it's noon, we think we got to eat lunch. Whether we're hungry or not, it's lunch. When it's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, or like me, 9 o'clock at night, it's bedtime. We let time tell us what's going on. And God's not hampered by that time. So 13 years go by, and the promise is renewed. In Genesis, the 17th chapter, the 6th verse, he says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. This guy is 99 years old, and God is telling him, I'm going to make you fruitful. I'm going to make you have children. The things are going to happen, and these kings are going to come out of you. Everything is going to work out. I've got the promise for you. God had made a covenant with him way back in chapter 15 that only God could keep. See, way back in chapter 15, God told Abraham, take some animals and split them in half. And the custom was that both parties that were making the covenant would walk between the animals. But God made Abram go to sleep. I'm just giving you the quick rundown on this. And then God passed through the covenant saying that I'm going to be the one that takes care of this whole covenant, this whole promise that is there. Abram becomes Abraham, the father of many. Sarai becomes Sarah, the mother of nations, and they both laugh at this at different times, but they both laugh at the idea that a 99-year-old man and an almost 90-year-old woman is going to have a baby. They're saying, no way. But you know what God's saying? Yahweh, I am God. I am going to take care of this. I love that. That even at 99 years old, the promise is still there because nothing is too hard for God. We think that there's things that God can't do. There isn't. God is God, the creator of everything that we see, breathed into a handful of dust and it became a living soul. That's the God that we're talking about here. And a 99-year-old man might as well have been 19. God said, I'm going to take care of this. Everything's going to work out. They had given up on the plan. I mean, think about it. Ishmael is there, and everything's a mess. Been 13 years. And then God says, wait a minute, I got something for you. Even though they had given up, it didn't matter that he was 99 years old. It didn't matter that Sarah was around 90 years old. They're saying, now this can't be. But God's saying, yes, it can. Yes, it can. You see, God's plan was not going to be stopped. It didn't matter what was going on. God's plan was not going to be stopped. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. In Isaiah, it says that in the 55th chapter, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. No matter what we can plan, no matter what we can think of, no matter what we can scheme to do, God's ways are higher. And His ways are always the right way. We need to understand that He has a timing for everything. And He is not going to be rushed. We can't force God's hand. We can't make Him hurry up. We can't hurry my God. It's an old song that's sung, and I'll talk about that maybe in a little bit. I'm not going to sing it. And everyone said amen. God has His timing. He knows what is best. And here's the cool thing. He sees you where you are right now. He knows the situation you're facing right now that you're thinking, God, you got to move. He knows that situation that you're in right now. And even cooler than that, He hears your cries. He hears you when you cry out to Him at night. Maybe when you soak your pillow with tears. He hears every word that you speak. And He says, I hear you, but it's not time yet. Because He knows just what to do and when to do it to bring the most effect. That's the cool thing about God and His timing. You see, He has a plan for you. And He knows when you're going to be ready for it. Because I think a lot of times we want things when we're not ready for it. I think a lot of times we want things when we think we're ready. But God says, I got you. In Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, He says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I love that passage of Scripture. I don't know how many times I've read through the Bible and it never jumped out of the page at me until my wife says, hey, this is my favorite verse. And then I read it and I read it and I think, yeah, God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. And it's not one to bring evil into our lives. It's not one to bring pain and sorrow. His plan is to give us a future and a hope. How many people in this world today are hopeless? How many people today think that nothing can be done? How many people sitting in churches every Sunday have that same thought go through their mind? I don't know if I can make another day. I don't know if I can take another step. But God is saying, I've got a plan for you. And I've got something for you. Just like He had for Abraham and Sarah now, His plan is perfect. So what are we trusting in? Are we trusting in what we can do on our own? Are we trusting in the power that we can muster up? Are we going to be trusting in the plan of the Creator of the universe? Hopefully and prayerfully, each one of us will say, I'm going to trust in Him. Because too many times I've trusted in me. Too many times I've tried to do it. Too many times I've tried to fix it. And too many times I have messed things up. And thank God it wasn't too many times for Him to pick me up when I fell. That's the good thing about God. You can mess up. You can do things on your own and just really just mess everything up. And God still has that plan for you. He says, I'll pick you up right where you are. Take me back to where I started. I love that line in that song. I had a preacher tell me one time that sometimes you have to go back to that burning bush. The place where you know that you heard from God. That place where you started. You have to go back to that place, not physically. You don't have to drive to, although I did one time because I was in a really, just a rut. I was in a dark, dark valley, I'll say that. And I drove back to the place where I knew I'd heard from God. But you have to go back to that place and let God speak to you. And let you know, I got this. Let's go from here now. Remember where you came from. Remember where you were and what I've brought you through up to this point. Just remember that. And then we'll realize that that valley's not so dark and it's not so deep. And the rough side of the mountain that we'll have to climb is not so rough. God will get us to the top again, to that mountaintop experience. He has that plan for us if we just trust Him. But here's the thing, and I love this. When that time comes for God to move, nothing, and I mean nothing, can stop it. In Galatians, the fourth chapter, it's talking about the birth of Jesus. It says this, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. You see, with Abraham and Sarah, when the time came, Isaac was born. When the time came, the promised son was there. And because of their obedience, because Abram did not give up, even though it had been 13 years, he didn't give up and he trusted what God was going to say. Even though they laughed about it, the son was born. It's the same with God's plan for us. When the fullness of time came, He sent His Son so that we could be redeemed. His Son with a covenant that only He could fulfill. Just like God's covenant with Abram, only Jesus could fulfill this covenant. He was the only one that could come and offer Himself up as that spotless lamb to be slaughtered. He was the only one who could offer Himself up on the cross of Calvary to shed His blood for you and for me. He was the only one that could do this. And He did when the fullness of time came. The final blood sacrifice was made for those that will call on Him. And the cool thing about it is, if you haven't done that yet, today's the day. This is the time. You don't have to wait another minute. You don't have to wait till I'm done preaching. He sacrificed Himself for you when the time came. It was God's timing. You see, way back in Genesis in the third chapter, God said this was going to happen. He told the snake, He said, the seed of the woman's going to bruise your head. He said, the seed of the woman's going to come and He's going to take you out, going to take care of you. And the seed of the woman came when Jesus was born. Satan tried all he could to stop it. When Jesus was born, what happened? And I'm not going to preach a Christmas message here. But what happened was the king heard what that Jesus was born, king of the Jews. And he sent his army out to go and kill all the babies. Anyone from 2 years and under. Go and kill all those babies. The enemy tried to stop it. And he thought he'd won at Calvary. He thought he'd won when Jesus died on that cross. The enemy realized that I stopped this guy. I stopped the plan of God. I stopped what God was doing. Only to be shocked on the third day when the stone rolled away and Jesus walked alive out of the grave. The enemy could not stop Him from coming. The enemy could not stop God's plan for you and for me. There's one more thing He can't stop. You see, He's coming back. He is. And it doesn't matter what we do. We can't stop that. It doesn't matter what governments do. You can build every doomsday bunker you want, and it ain't going to stop Him. He's coming back. Because it says that. In the opening text, it said that. Don't be ignorant of this one thing, that the Lord, with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. Now, I'm not going to tell you when He's coming back, because I don't know. The Bible even tells me that I don't know. Only God knows. And I can try to figure it out, and I'll be wrong. In fact, a guy back in 1988 wrote a whole book about 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1988. He didn't make it. If He did, we're all in trouble. I didn't see Him and I didn't hear the trumpet. One of these days, He is going to come back. He's coming for His bride. He's coming for that bride without spot, without wrinkle. He's coming for that bride, His church. He says, the Lord isn't slack concerning His promise. If He promised it, it's going to happen. Just like He promised Abram way back that he was going to have a son and many nations were going to come out of him, and the nations would be blessed because of that. Because of all that, we can trust God's promise that He is coming back. And it says it will come as a thief in the night. We're not going to know when, but He's going to come. And the heavens will pass away with a great noise. In Thessalonians, it talks about there will be a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And I know I shared this with you before. When Jacob was younger in band, he played the trumpet for a couple years. I was never so glad when he took up the guitar until he got his electric one. The trumpet was loud. God's trumpet's going to be so loud. We'll all know. We'll all hear. God's got a plan. He's coming back for you, for me, if we're saved. Again, if we're not here today, today's the day. Don't wait another minute. Don't wait another, don't think, well, I'll just wait till Pastor Tim gets back. You may not make it that long. I'll just wait and I'll talk to Tim, Pastor Tim, when he gets back and we'll set something up. You don't have to wait. Not another moment. Because when God's timing is right, He's coming. When God's timing is right, He's calling us. And I guess the whole message comes down to this. And we're gonna close with these thoughts here. If God made the promise, He's going to fulfill it. It may not be the way we want it. It may not be the way we think it should be. But He does have a plan for us. He has something in store for you that is beyond belief. We just have to get out of the way. We got to stop trying to help God because God doesn't need our help. He's God. And if we think things are being delayed, it's for a reason. You heard the saying, let go and let God. That's for real. You got to let go of some things and say, all right, God, it's in your hands. Don't be like me a couple weeks ago praying and said, God, you're not even hearing me. He was hearing me. I just wouldn't let go of it. He was hearing everyone that was praying. And I think God was doing that to prove a point. I don't know. Maybe it'll make me think about trying to hurry my God. You see, there's an old song. And the title of it is, You Can't Hurry My God. And I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to give you just a little bit of it. It says, You can't hurry my God. No, you just got to wait. You got to trust and give Him time, no matter how long it takes. He's the God that you can't hurry, so you don't have to worry. He may not come when you want Him, but He's always right on time. Right on time. Everything that God does, He's right on time. Everything He has for you is right on time. So God's got this. So what our problem is, or not our problem, this is what we need to do. We need to get way back in Him. I knew a pastor out in Virginia. Her name was Lucille Green. She is probably in her 90s, African-American woman. Probably about as big around as this pole here, just wiry. And she'd always say, you got to get way back in Jesus. You got to get so far back in Jesus that the devil can't see you. And that's where we got to get. When we're praying for something and it's not happening right away, we need to get way back in Him and see why and wait on Him. When we're praying for something and it's not happening, I read this week, that if we're knocking and the answer's not coming, maybe we need to wash our hands and knock again. Maybe there's something in the way. Maybe God's waiting for us to get where He needs us to be. And then the answer comes. So no, you can't hurry my God. But when His time comes, you ain't going to stop it either. Let's stand. Lord, we do thank You for this word. We thank You for the promise that's there, that no matter what, if You've promised it, it's coming to us. That we need to get out of the way sometimes, that we need to let You move in Your time. Help us not to put limits on You, Lord. Help us to realize that You are God, that You are the Creator of everything that we see. You're the one who gives us that breath of life. You're the one that gives us the beating heart in our chest. Father, You're the one that created this. And You have a plan for us, Lord. Help us to see it. Help us to understand it. And Lord, we pray that You help us to move in Your time. In Jesus' name, amen.